That's today. Some shall depart from the faith. I want to stress the word some, not everybody, just some. So, but what that means too is they're in the faith, but it is possible they will depart from it. Because they're what? We'll read it in just a second. Excuse me. Don't you think about it. I got the whole bottle. That's pretty weak. She watered her own, baptized her own Bible. Sometimes shall depart from the faith. Now, sometimes we think, you know, when you get to think you're really good at something, I remember this. When the little banana seat bicycles came out with the high handlebars and the little wheels. Y'all remember that? Well, I was used to riding those 26-inch with the big wheels, you know. And we rode bicycles everywhere. But I got me a banana bicycle, and I'll never forget the day. My parents had an old store on Main Street. Remember, it's not Main Street, but I don't want to confuse you. Nelson is so big, you get confused. Anyway, we had a warehouse on the back and had the big door. And that's where we unloaded the groceries off the truck and all that stuff. Well, I had this idea. I'm going to go around, come down Main Street, and I'm going to turn. Man, I was flying. And I'm going to whip up in that door and it goes up into. Well, I whipped all right. I forgot that little wheel and big handlebars, they turn real sharp. Those big bicycles, you know, you have to do that kind of thing. I did that, and I went, I was launched into the air, and I spread eagle on the pavement. Oh, my God. I'll never forget it. It was painful. I looked up. Here comes Bobby Jean Gillentine in his old wrecker truck. I said, now Bobby Jean's going to run over me. I got to get up. Woo, that hurt. But see, I thought I was good. But I wasn't so good. And that's the way it is with anything in life. We get careless. We get a little nonchalant. We get a little maybe arrogant. We think we can do stuff. And, you know, skateboarding, whatever you want to do. We need to have a skateboard contest, don't y'all think?
No.
Oh, I forgot. I'm with the senior group tonight. I'll be senior myself. But giving heed, now what happens if we depart from the faith? And this has come from people with perfect attendance for 40 years. It's just that we get away from the Word and get away from depending on God. Remember this, we said, what did I tell y'all this morning? Do not forget this. If you forget anything else, it's fine. Don't forget this. What did I say? Doug knows. We are sheep. Don't forget, look at your neighbor and say, you're just a sheep. But God loves the sheep. And God takes care of you. And the only thing is we got to do is follow the shepherd's voice. You got to know his voice and follow it. And you'll stay out of trouble. Isn't that great? Obedience is the name of the game. But sometimes, man, Mama, I just don't want to be good. That's what Lila told Ann one night. Or Lily. Was it Lily or Lila? Lila said that. But anyway. Departing from the faith, giving heed, what does that mean? Listening. Giving attention to it, listening to it. These things can be slick, y'all. These devils are liars. They are supreme liars. They'll come up with something that sounds so logical that's got to be true. That's totally, oh, God surely won't kill you. You surely won't die if you eat of this fruit. What happened? They did and we did. There's consequences. So, we see here, they just gave heed to seducing spirits. Hey, y'all come over to my house now. We've got a new revelation from God. And, you know, you don't have to do certain things. Do. What sounds enticing? You get there and it sounds so good, Lynn. But it's not good. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And we got to know better. Bunch of neighbors say he's talking about you. We've got to know better. Giving, look, that's when we go, we revert back to the Apostles' Creed and the prophecies we've had and the good old Holy Book. Amen. It will not go out of style. Jesus, well, the Word says, if one jot or tittle is changed, it's bad news for that person. Giving heed to seducing spirits, and this is what you're dealing with, and doctrines of devils. Now, in our normal, natural self, we are not capable of overcoming them. Now, in your spirit man, what's in you is greater than them. You cast them out in the name of Jesus. But just through your natural mind and your natural body, well, I'm going to knock you out. No, you're not going to knock the devil out. If you had been, somebody knocked him out a long time ago. But you tell him to leave, and he has to leave, right? Well, if you put up with him, he's going to hang around. Giving heed to seducing spirit. That is a lying, slick spirit. Isn't it? Is it good or bad? It's bad. God will never seduce you. He's going to tell you up front what he is and what he'll do for you. And do you want to come along to be blessed? Amen. And doctrines of devils. Now, Rick Renner shares about that. He said, these doctrines are well put together. They're presented by people that are very educated. And some people know what they're just saying, this stuff. And it's so neat packaged. And, you know, and it's not like the first Sunday you go in and, or whenever you hear this person share, you know, he's not going to say things that are so outlandish that you say, there's nothing to that. That's wrong. It'll start with one little slant. And then it'll be another little slant. And then before you know, he's got a hook in your jaw and you're believing it. And look, better people than me and you have fallen for seducing spirits. So we're not going to do it, right? We're not going to do it. Don't give heed to that. Okay. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Verse 2, please. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience, no consequences. The conscience is, you know, you got a, y'all got a conscience? I do, you know. Y'all wouldn't steal a pack of gum from anybody because your conscience would bother you, wouldn't it? Amen. Beside that, you can afford one. You don't have to steal it. Amen. Speaking lies in hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, what are we talking about? In the last days, as Rick says, if you'll let me quote him, it's a crazy world. Can we agree? It's a crazy world. I can't put rhyme or reason to it. It's just crazy. But we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God. Right? Okay, so we're on good ground so far. And he says, watch out in these last days, and I just want a little note here that you can pray all you want. This is going to happen. Now you can run them off; they don't have to come to your house. But this is going to happen, as we referred to. In the end times, there'll be a great falling away. We brought that up this morning. We heard that as growing up and heard it in church. There's a great falling away of the church. Well, that's happening. But at the same time, let's look to God. Falling away, God's greater than that. He just knew it's going to happen. Those demons are going to be coming. Teaching stuff. We've seen it on TV. We've heard about stories of other people doing things. And this is not all entirely new. It's happened before. There's a doctrine of universalism that has made the rounds before. Does anybody know what that is? That is a teaching that says, and he'll have scriptures and it'll lay it out there. Well, Jesus died for everybody, so you don't have to be born again. You don't have to live for God. You're going to heaven anyway. I wouldn't want to be in he or her shoes, because you see, it's all about the people. And we'll do our best to do it right. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Wow. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. And we'll start with verse 1 and go through 5. 1 Timothy 1, 1 through 5. This is what's happening. And this is the darkness that's out there. And this is the darkness that we are approaching. It's coming toward us, trying to put the light out. But I got news. If we'll keep the fire burning, you can't put the light out. Amen? Light dispels the darkness. Jesus is the light of the development of man. He is the light of man. And when he came into the world thought they could put him out, but the world could not comprehend him. The world could not overtake Jesus, because the light that's in him is the light of God. He is the Father. God is the Father of what? Lights. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Everybody say, Jesus is our hope. Verse 2, please. Unto Timothy, my own son, he's writing to him, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, time out. As you read the letters in the New Testament, probably all of them have a greeting. This is a greeting. Timothy. He didn't just jump in and say, Timothy, you knucklehead. And this is how God operates. Grace, peace from God our Savior. God has some things to say. Some strong things to say. We just read part of them in chapter 4. From God our Father and Jesus Christ. He lets them know who's actually sending this letter. Paul's writing it, but God's telling him what to say. Right? Okay, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that... Uh-oh. Got a little problem in the church there, Bill. Now, this is a huge church. Very rich. But it wouldn't matter if it's small. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So we just can't sit here and assume, because we're good old country Christians, that something, someone, something, whatever could come in. Things have tried to come in before. But they're not here now. Amen. Amen. Take care of the sheep. Might as charge some that they teach no other doctrine. He is writing to Timothy, who is the pastor of this church, telling him, and Timothy, I guarantee you did not want to do this, because probably some of those people are well educated and got a lot of money and they're very prominent in the church. But a pastor got to do what a pastor got to do. A shepherd's got to do what a shepherd's got to do. Get the wolf out of the house. Kill the bear. Get it out. Amen? Who says it's fun? Nobody. Verse 4, please. Everybody say, teach no other doctrine.
Teach no other doctrine.
What does that mean? Apostles' Creed is the beginning of it. And you spring out from there. That's your foundation. Jesus is the rock. Amen? I believe as 1 John says, if anybody tells you that Jesus has not come in the flesh, they are the devil. Is that right, Lynn? Hallelujah. So if somebody starts telling them Jesus really didn't come, that's just to make believe. You know, and they got little schemes and this and that. That's one way you judge them. One way you judge a devil. If that person or whatever, if you ask them the question, did Jesus come in the flesh? If they can't say yes, you better know for a fact that's a demon you're talking to, because they're not going to admit it. At least that's what 1 John said, and I believe John. Everybody say, I believe John.
I believe John.
Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. There's a lot of things said in that. Which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Don't need a lot of questions and answers. Amen?
Amen.
If you ever start a study group, are you listening? Are you ready? Don't allow, if you're in charge of it, don't allow all these questions. Teach the word. Let the word bring edification. And get up and go home. Straight-minded, with clarity. You can ask all kind of questions. Well, you know, like this. This is a good question. Diane, you believe in God? Answer is yes. Well, can you tell me where God came from? No, and you can't either. He's just always been here. You got to believe that. You got to believe it down in your knower. That God's God, and He's always been God, and always will be God. But you see, questions like that get asked in groups, and then you get all this stuff going. Then you got confusion. Don't put up with that stuff. Love each other. Pray one for another. Amen? Okay, no extra charge for that one. Let's go to verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart. And he said, when you get down to the brass tacks, this is what you should have. Love and a pure heart. And of a good conscience. Amen. You have a good conscience when you get through with your meetings and your life. When you get through praying, you feel good about it because you prayed to God and you prayed correctly. And of faith unfinged. Who knows what unfinged means? Sincere faith? I'll go with that. Hallelujah. Faith unfinged. Y'all learned something tonight? I learned what unfinged means. Glory to God. Okay, moving on. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Luke 17, 1 and 2. There are things that you and I will encounter that other people, the other church before, is not going to encounter. They encountered lions. They encountered bears. They encountered gladiators. They encountered all kind of horrible things. And I'm glad I missed that part. It's illegal to put Bill in a pen with a lion. I wouldn't like that. Daniel didn't care, did he? He was full of hungry lions, as that song says. Glory to God. All right. Then said he unto the disciples, Jesus talking to the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Well, these liberals in our country and in this world, don't offend anybody. Don't offend anybody. Your mom and daddy ever offend you? Get a haircut, boy. Be home by 9. Just a little example. That offenses will come. We will be offended. Things will happen. But don't let it stop you. It is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Forgive. Right? Right. We forgive. We move on. We don't hold grudges, right? Glory to God. Verse 2. And you're going to see the seriousness of the matter right here. If I were to get up here and preach something to you that wasn't the gospel, I could bring offense. If you were to believe it, I'd pay the price. Let's read it. It were better for him that a millstone, who? The one that brought the offense. That a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones. Who's talking here? Jesus is talking here. You think he says what he means and means what he says? Yes. He'd been better off if that guy never said that, because he's hurt the children of God. He's brought offense to the Bible. He's brought offense to the church. He's saying things, teaching things that are wrong. Is that happening today? Yeah. It really is. I mean, we're a little sheltered down here in Oklahoma. But you know what? How many of you got a phone with Facebook? Everybody in here probably. You have access to the whole world in your hand. And we hear stuff. Be wise. Don't give heed to doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. If you don't figure it out, get to somebody and y'all talk about it. Somebody that knows what's going on. Call in. Put in work. Hallelujah. Let's all call Lynn tomorrow about 9:30. You want to? Lynn, I got this question. Where'd God come from? He won't know. He still thinks he's humble, too. That's an old joke, isn't it? Virgil needs to be here. All right. It's better. Now, listen. This is serious. A millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea that he should offend one of the... Misrepresenting God is not a cool idea. If you're doing this for fame or fortune or trying to get some money, this is the wrong thing to do. Amen? If you're trying to hoodwink the people, if you're trying to hoodwink God, he's not winking back. He's keeping score. Serious. So, here we go. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. The Battle of Jericho. Walls came what? Yeah, they got those big weapons out there and those cannons and stuff. And they just tumbled down. No, they just walked around and just did what God said to do. Look what will happen if we're just obedient to God. It's a great miracle, though. They walked around six times without saying a word. I don't know of a church in the world that could do that. Right, Danny? Got any in Alabama? No. I don't know. We're going to talk, I guarantee. We're going to talk. You know. But God said, do this. Don't say a word. Seven times. The last day you get to shout. And the walls came tumbling down. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, God's speaking to Joshua. Moses has died. Joshua's in charge of a church of about 3 million. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What is he talking about? The Bible, the scripture. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I won't have time to watch Lucy. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then, everybody say for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, if there's ever been a little nugget for prosperity, that's it. Just keep your nose in the book, and when your nose is not in the book, you keep your heart in the book. You just do what it says. Amen? Learn from God. Renew your mind. Hallelujah. Prosperous and success. Verse 9, please. God is continuing to say to Joshua, this is very important. This is, Joshua, did I tell you something? And he says, have I not commanded thee? The answer is yes, he has. What'd you tell me, Lord? Have you ever had to say that to God? God say something like, you know, I told you. What'd you say? Be strong and of a good courage. Uh-oh. We're in trouble now. The fight's on. But we win. You know, it's one thing. You know, when we were in school, in high school, in PE, we used to, Coach Payne found a pair of old boxing gloves. Two pair. And they were, Bill, that's about this big around. They weighed like 8 pounds a piece, it felt like, you know. So we boxed. Never pick out anybody to box with that's bigger than you. Everybody said, that sounds logical. All right. And Coach Payne was good. He wouldn't get you mixed up with older people, but keeping you the same size and weight, you know, I could do now. But we boxed. They won't let you do that anymore. But at Nelton, we did. And Paul Estes. Nancy, you remember Paul Estes? Paul was a little taller than me, but he's skinny. And he got a big nose. And I saw Paul today. He's one of the finest people in the whole world. Anyway, and he was a little bit tongue-tied when we were going to school. Anyway, we got up there, and Coach brought the gloves out, and Paul said, "Coach, I want to box O'Brien over there." Okay, so here we go. And I'm wearing glasses that look like the bottom of a Coca-Cola bottle. I mean, you know, hey. So I take those off, so I'm just swinging in the dark. But if it moves, I'm swinging at it. So anyway, we get out there, we start. First thing, Larry, pop, I hit him around that big nose. He starts taking those gloves off, man. I'm done, you know. But then I fought another guy. It was a little touchy, but I prevailed. But one boy got knocked smooth out. The boy was a big boy, strong as a country mule. I'm telling you, he was. And his name was Larry Munnigan. All the Munnigans is stout. Anyway, this Bobby Pennington. You know Bobby Pennington. Used to work at whatever. Wasn't Union. I mean, United was something else before. What was it over there at Nelton? People Lounger. There you go. Anyway, Bobby, well, they're about the same size, but Bobby was left-handed. That's not good when you're not used to doing this. They got to boxing, you know. Larry wasn't doing much, and he was a little nervous, but if he ever hit you, I mean, you were out. But anyway, he was standing there, and about that time, Bobby Pennington hit him with a left hook right here. He went, boom, out. I said, "Oh, my God, he's dead." But he was revived, and we took the gloves off, and I guess we boxed some more after that. I'm not sure. But anyway, the fight was on. Have I not commanded they be strong and of a good courage? I don't care whatever we have to face. What's in you is greater. Your God is bigger than anything. The thing that you have to do, the thing I have to do, is have good courage. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. This is Ephesians talking about the armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Have good courage about this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff. I mean, I've been here. We've done this before, God. We know how to fight. We're not fighting with fists. We're fighting spiritually. We're fighting in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're fighting against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of darkness in this world. Have I not commanded thee be strong and of good courage? Why would God tell him that? To be mean? No. Hey, look, you've got to have this if you're going to be successful. Keep your nose in the book, verse 8. Learn about the things of God. Emulate what Moses did. Joshua's already a great man. God said, be of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Oh, there's going to be some things that's going to blow your mind. How in the world can I get over this? But you can. God said, don't be like that. Don't be confused. For the Lord, why could he say that? Why would we possibly believe that? Because the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Whatever you face tomorrow, God's with you. And he's bigger than any problem you will ever have. Circumstances will always change. Stand your ground. Speak to the devil. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. Now, back in the day, Joshua was dealing with a human army, crossing rivers and this and that. This part they go across. I mean, if you can do that, why would I be afraid of an army over here? David wasn't afraid of Goliath because he'd been there before. And he knew God would help him. God was his shepherd. He wrote those songs. Can you imagine David out in the nighttime taking care of the sheep and singing those psalms? Singing their songs. He sang them. And he would play his guitar, what we would call it. Can you imagine the power in worship and praise? We did it this morning. We should do it all the time. God inhabits the power of his praise. And he says, do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid. Be of good courage. Everybody say, I'm full of good courage. I believe my God can do all things. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes. Yes. The fight's going to be there, but you need to arise. I need to arise in the name of Jesus, and his enemies will be scattered. Amen. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever you go. What is the old country song? I didn't promise you a rose garden. That's an old one, isn't it? And he didn't. He did promise us victory if we'd listen to him. Amen. Those doctrines of demons, seducing spirits, are going to be out there. We got to stay in here. We got to stay in church, not just the building, in the Word. Stay together. Stay strong on the correct scriptures and walk out of here victorious. Because he's coming back. And the Bible says when he comes back next time, he won't be coming back for sin, paying the price for sin and salvation. He won't go to the cross again. Once was enough. He's coming back. You know what he's looking for? The Bible says he's going to be looking for faith. You got faith? You're all right with Jesus. And Hebrews says it is impossible to please God except by faith. You must believe that he is God and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The big monkey wrench in all of this, pray for these, is relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying you had to pray on your knees 24 hours a day. God's not asking you to do that. But endeavor to be aware of his presence all the time. Talk to Jesus. You know, you don't have to shout. Just say, okay, Jesus, what are you saying here? And you hear his voice on the inside most of the time. Just hear his voice. Do what he says. Know what the scripture says. And trust him. Something good is going to happen to you. Amen? Don't be afraid of the darkness and the confusion that's all out there in this world. It's going to probably get a little worse before it gets better. But you are victorious. Because that's the world. And you're in the kingdom of God. And he watches over his flock. And he protects us, right? Okay. Hallelujah. Let's pray over these prayer requests. Let's see. Glory to God. Okay. Jay, would you come help me? Let's just get Ann and Terry involved too. Ann needs to pray. Mm-hmm. Anybody act like she did tonight?
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're my toe.
Oh.
Golly, Joy. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You can let go of my hand. Put it on here.
Oh.
This is learning how to pray 101. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, these people on these two sheets of paper are so precious to you. You died for them. And in your sacrifice, you healed them by your stripes. You won the battle. You took the keys of hell, death, and the grave. Hell, death, and the grave has no authority over us. And Father, as we pray for these people, we declare and decree that they be healed,
yes,
whole, and well in every area of their life.
Yes.
Lord, raise them up and get them back going. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it. And we all said, amen.
Amen.
You believe it tonight?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. It's done. Miracles right here. Bunches of them. Amen. Glory to God. We didn't do any music tonight. Hallelujah. You got something on your mind up there, Doug? Huh? Crank it up. We'll go in and out of this thing. If you want to go, you can go. Or we'll listen to it while you're there.